Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am excited to introduce a company to all of you, our audience. And now I know that a number of you already know a bit about this company. I have brought them up in the past with other guests, but I wanted to get a full comprehensive overview. I am chatting with Doug Ramshaw. He is the president of Minera Alamos. Minera is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MAI and on the OTC CQB under the symbol MAIFF. Just as a quick little recap, Minera Alamos is focused in Mexico. They have complete ownership, 100% of two more advanced stage projects that we will spend a lot of time focusing on. Doug, take us through just a high-level overview of the focus in Mexico first and foremost, please.
Sure, and thanks, Corey. Good to be with you. Minera is built around an operating team that has worked down in Mexico for about 12 years now, built three different mines down there, and we are mine builders at heart. Our company's core, cornerstones really are building mines that might start out small, but we'll grow them out of cash flow, and doing so with really, almost exceptional low capex costs. It was the hallmark of the Castle Gold success that the team had in 2008-09, where, we were able to identify a project that had a modest resource to start with, 300,000 ounces, but with a lot of exploration upside. And that resource was sufficient for us to build a mine and get it up and running, and then grow it out of the cash flow rather than going back to the equity markets to do so. So our goal is to build these things in a way which is very shareholder friendly, and really built on a team that has operated down there with great success for 12 years now.
So that low capex characteristic is one thing that really attracts me to the overall strategy. Let's start off with the Santa Ana project in the Sonora state of Mexico. Again, cheap capex. From my research, it looks like it'll cost about $8 to $9 million Canadian to get this project up and running. There was some test mining back in 2018. Take us through the history of the Santa Ana project, please.
Yeah, Santana, my company merged with Minera Alamos a year ago, and the asset that I had in a company called Corex Gold was Santana. So it last saw any significant exploration back in 2009 through 11. We did embark on some test mining, which has proven invaluable now as we get this project now more groomed for going into production next year. We did almost 50,000 ton bulk sample. It's a heap leach project. Having a handle on the metallurgy of a heap leach project is key, and I think we've addressed that with an extensive series of metallurgical tests and effectively test mining. The other thing, is the need to have a robust resource. It's the core area that we plan to mine first. It's got close to 20,000 meters of drilling in it. There's over 30,000 meters on the property as a whole. But sometimes you need an asset which has been, sitting around for a while, and a fresh set of eyes on it can really unlock the real value of the project. So, our goal here is, a sub 10 million Canadian build, which seems eye-rolling, really, to build a 30,000-ounce-a-year operation for sub 10 million Canadian, but that's precisely what the team has done in the past down there. And heap leach affords you the ability to build these things with low capital intensity and to modularly build them out as you get up and running. So in many ways, we almost want to drill the least possible ahead of a production decision so we can limit the equity dilution required with drilling it out in its entirety and then designing a mine around it. Instead, heap leach, especially with the grades we're talking about at Santana, which are roughly 0.8 of a gram per ton, so kind of twice the grade of the Great Basin in the States, allows you this staged build out. And so you can really reduce the upfront capital requirements to build these things.
Yeah, one of the nice things about these heap leach projects is that you can start small, and in all fairness, they can be pretty straightforward when it comes to getting into production. Can you share with us what the resource is, though, that you're currently working with that is reported at Santana?
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation point, because the legacy of the previous management for Corex, they drilled it extensively, and so we have a very robust resource. This resource is drilled off on, you know, almost 25 meter centers, so, you know, very good for a heap leach operation. They never actually formalized that into a 43-101 compliant resource. So we have internal numbers, which at the time of the merger, Minera Alamos double checked, and their biggest shareholder, Osisko Gold Royalties, kind of triple checked those numbers. We're looking at an internal resource right now, which we're basing the mine plan off, that is very similar to how Castle Gold started out, in the 350,000 ounce range. But what's key to any asset we look at is we're more than happy starting an operation out on that kind of size resource, so long as we can see the opportunity to expand that resource greatly. In the case of Castle Gold, they started with a 300,000 ounce resource. When it was bought by Argonaut 2 years later, the resource had grown to 1.25 million ounces. But that growth in the resource was done out of cash flow. So yes, it's modest, and to complicate matters, it's not a 43-101 compliant resource. We will do a modest amount of drilling this year just to formalize the pit outlines for the first pit, and then probably come out with an initial 43-101 resource, more than anything, so that we, you know, if we go into production at 30,000 ounces a year roughly, which is what we're anticipating for Q2 of next year, that's great, but if you don't have a resource statement, you're not going to be able to say what your mine life is. And at least with a resource, even if there isn't a PEA that was required to build this project, people will be able to back calculate the mine life and realize, yeah, we're in that 8 to 9 year kind of mine life on that starting production rate. And so, you know, we're very comfortable with that approach, as an approach the company's done before and supported with a Cisco. We don't see too much trouble getting to that point.
Okay, so just in summary, it is moving this project into production and then looking more at the exploration potential here. Is that correct?
Yeah, we, you know, now that we've got, you know, fresh eyes on the geology there, you know, we feel like the initial resource, this is a series of numerous hydrothermal breccia pipes that host the gold there. We've identified, you know, the main Nicho pit, which would be the starting pit, is probably this 300,000 ounce resource. We've identified four or five other pipes that have very similar looks. Some have drilling into them. Some are virgin discoveries we made last year. I love nothing more than when we get assay results through, but I prefer that when they're assay results that have been funded from the cash flow of an operation. So our goal is, there's no point going through all these steps of permitting and construction if that's it and that's the resource. Yes, we could make a lot of money off it, but then you've got to go and deploy that capital elsewhere and start this process of permitting again. Much better to be able to expand the resource on the property, and that's what we plan to do.
Okay, well, that's pretty straightforward. Now, just one more comment. You mentioned that this will be about a 30,000 ounce a year production portfolio when it is potentially up and running mid-next year. What kind of growth do you see? Just how big, how many ounces per year could this production profile grow to?
Well, certainly by year two, we feel like we would quite quickly push that profile up to closer to 50,000 ounces a year. You know, now as we're seeing and getting a better handle on the local geology and, you know, the regional package that we've got, you know, Santana, which we always thought was going to kickstart the production profile of the company through a series of mines, we now think Santana in its own right can be a significant producer, you know, potentially topping out in the 60 to 70,000 ounce range. And this will be a staged modular build out. We're very cognizant of making sure you walk before you run, and So we'll augment the starter pit with probably a number of satellite pits that all are within trucking distance to a centralized heap leach facility on the property. Most of these pipes are within 3 kilometers of each other. So a central facility tackling the ore coming from a number of these separate pits.
All right. One final question before we move on to the next project. Permits, where do you stand with these?
Yeah, so permitting in Mexico is actually a relatively straightforward process. You know, start to finish, you're normally looking at about 12 months. There were some, you know, noticeable slowdowns in some aspects of it this last year, mainly because Mexico has an election every 6 years, and sure enough, it happened to be this year. That said, we recently got approval for the change of land use at Santana from agricultural to commercial use. And in our case, that commercial use is a gold mine. And that means that we've passed the technical review process of our mine plan. That news came out just recently and was obviously a major de-risking step for the company. It's the permits in Mexico are a two-step process. You can't get step two without step one. And step one was what we've just announced. Over the next couple of months, the final permit should be finalized. And with that, you can basically do everything but start production. So we're still hoping, and these things are always best guesstimates. You know, we're still hoping that by end of September, we'll have the full permit issued. And that would allow us to start construction in Q4 of this year, which keeps us on track for our goal of production in Q2 of next year. And whilst you're constructing, you can apply for the last permits, which tend to fall in Mexico, which are things like water and explosives permits. But the process is, you know, basically the news we had at the end of June really keeps all our timelines intact as it stands right now. So we were very happy to have that news come through from the new government. We started that process from the old government, and it's being completed with the new government. And I think it speaks volumes to Mexico as a mining jurisdiction that you can basically have, even at a time where there's a lot of change in the government, a pretty much a start to finish approach of 12 months of permitting.
Yeah, I know from talking to you in the last few months just how that change of government and now getting that change of use permit is quite crucial to moving that project forward and showing some comfort in the changeover in government. Let's now move over to the La Fortuna project. This is in Durango State in Mexico. This one has a little bit longer of a build out. Santana is such a quick build out. What can you share with us in terms of the La Fortuna project and where you stand on it right now?
Yeah, Fortuna was always going to be sequenced as the second mine. We actually got the notice of permit approval for that back right before the government changeover in November, which was very helpful, obviously, from a de-risking point of view. But, you know, all eyes were on Santana as it was the first mine we wanted to build. And whilst Santana is exceptionally low capex, Fortuna in its own right is, for a 50,000 ounce a year operation, the capital requirements on it are still only of the order of about $25 million U.S. Now, the reason we want to sequence them in this order is it's a lot easier for us to take debt on to build out Fortuna if we're already cash flowing at the first operation. So Fortuna was, you know, we came out with a very impressive PEA for that project in August of last year, a one-year payback. Again, just based on a high-grade starter pit the high-grade starter pit in the PEA was based just on a five-year mine life. And that's not to say that the potential at Fortuna is just 5 years. Like all our projects, there's plenty of exploration upside, both brownfields and greenfields, to expand that. But it's slightly different from Santana, and it's not a heap leach operation. It's milling operation with about 50% of the gold recovered by gravity. It's a 3.5 to 4 gram per ton open pit with about a 6-to-1 strip ratio. And the all-in sustaining cost in the PEA came in at sub 500 US an ounce. So it's a very, very robust resource. that lends itself to our business model of expanding the known resources further out the cash flow. It has still a modest build time, about 12 months, and would be a project that we would look to shift our construction teams over to really upon the completion of the Santana build. So we would be expecting over the coming months to make sure that we've finalized things in terms of debt that might be required to build it. But, you know, it will augment the 30 to 50,000 ounce a year production profile at Santana with a very quick additional 50,000 ounces we would expect to come on about a year and a half after Santana. So that's something we're really cognizant of, is being a multi-mine company and demonstrating that even in a flat gold market, we can do well because we have this organic production growth profile of multi-mines, which both have the ability to expand their own production.
Okay, so within maybe a couple of years, you guys could be up to about 100,000 ounces a year, correct? That's if everything goes according to plan.
Yeah, we have goals to be higher than that in time. I certainly, we're not a group that want to rest on our laurels, and I'm quite often asked the question, well, what do you want to do when you get to that point? And really, at that point, that's where the fun starts, because I think you've gone through all the trials and tribulations of being on the development cycle of the Lassonde curve. Now things get interesting with the kind of cash flow you can spit off these two operations, even at their kind of starting production rate combined of about 100,000 ounces a year. That gets us into a different echelon of producer. And I think as we advance that production growth, you know, we would hope to see a re-rating based on getting to more sizable gold producer, and hopefully use that as a platform to build still further thereafter.
Okay, well, let's just have a couple more comments here regarding share structure. There are over 350 million shares outstanding. There are also about 86 million warrants, but about 80 million of those will expire this year. Some of the key shareholders, Osisko management holds about 8%, retail float at around 50%. How much cash do you guys have in the bank right now?
Well, we have about $4.5 million in cash right now. Our biggest shareholder is Osisko Gold Royalties. So where we will be looking, the reason they entered a strategic partnership with us was, you know, to back the right operating team and support them with royalty funds to actually build these mines out. So whilst the royalty is a form of dilution, we feel it's a far more shareholder-friendly dilution than going back to the equity markets. What I would point out on the share structure, Corey, is we did have a big warrant overhang. At the beginning of April, we had 86 million warrants out. As of today, we only have about 5 million of those left. So it's one of the reasons the share count is risen to 370 million, which doesn't worry me too much. But if we were exploring moose pasture in Manitoba, that would be a different question. But as a production story, we really are a market cap story. The biggest overhang was a warrant overhang. That's basically in the last couple of weeks all but disappeared. And I think is more than anything responsible for some of the recent appreciation in the stock price, notwithstanding obviously moving into a more positive gold environment, which should play to developers like ourselves that are near-term producers. So right now we have about 370 million shares out and about 4 million warrants. So I think the importance there moving forward is there aren't going to be artificial caps created by a warrant overhang. And I think that's probably a big factor as to why since early June of this year, the stock has begun to rally as people have seen those warrants disappear.
All right. Well, Doug, we're going to wrap it up there just because we have covered a fair bit of this company. If anybody wants more information or has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I am happy to put those in front of Doug, and I'm happy to field any questions that any of you have. Doug, thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I appreciate it.